you being seated for prayer. Father God, once again, we thank you for allowing us the privilege of coming into your house. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for the rains you've sent. God, we just ask now you just let your Holy Spirit descend on our service. God, that everything we do will be pleasing in your sight. Pray for those, Lord, who are out traveling, Lord, that you just give them safe travel and bring them back here safely. And God, we just pray for the songs we're going to sing, that they'll be glorifying you, and the word that will be spoken, that they'll glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And all God's children say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are blessed this first Sunday morning to have Terry Garcia back with us. She hadn't been with us in a while, so we're going to let her open our song service this morning. So Terry, come on up, and we're glad to have you here.
Lord works in mysterious ways, does he not?
Oh, yes.
I had no idea what this lady was going to sing. I didn't know she was going to sing until we got here. How many of you are looking for the second coming?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Jim. Redemption draweth nigh. Since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday.
Amen.
In the gospel, yes,
stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
That was pitiful. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
Amen. I brought something. We're going to have a little demonstration today. Anybody have a clue?
A bat.
Oh.
Yes, it is an iron.
It's an iron. Most of you. Most of us don't use these anymore, do we? Exactly right. We just throw that stuff in the dryer and let it do its work. But I'm going to demonstrate something for you today. All right. I want to iron something. Come here, Rodney. Come around. I'm going to iron on your back.
Okay.
Does that feel warm?
No, it ain't right now. No. I actually made sure it wasn't plugged in.
Oh. What? Where'd you go? Don't leave me. All right. He said it wasn't working. What's wrong?
It's not plugged in.
So we got to have a power source. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the word power source now. Remember that. All right. I'm going to plug it in. All right, now.
All right, that's hot now.
It is not hot.
It's not.
You're a bad partner here, buddy. Hey. All right. I've got it plugged in. We've got a power source, but it's still not working. What's wrong? Who said? Oh, it's got a button. Oh, you see that, Rodney? It's got an off and on button. So now I'm going to turn it to on. All right.
That's kind of scary, mate.
Lukewarm. Lukewarm. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've heard it from you many times.
Bunch of times.
Stomped on my toe many times. You're lukewarm. All right, what's wrong? If I want to be a little better, what do I have to do? Turn up the setting.
Mm-hmm.
To hot. Hot. Now we're hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hot.
Thank it's you. Hot.
Let's give him a hand here. All right, we're going to use this as a demonstration for a Christian. This is a Christian right here, okay? Okay, doesn't a Christian have to have a power source?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Huh? Amen?
Yes.
They have to have a power source. And if you're a Christian, your power source is who?
God.
Jesus.
You're plugged into Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If you're not plugged into Jesus, who are you plugged into? Boo! Say it again, Louise.
Little.
Yeah, you plugged into the devil. Okay? So you got to have a power source. Now, all right? We've got the power source. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We accepted that He lived on earth. We accepted that He was born of a virgin. We accepted that He died on the cross for our sins. And He arose in 3 days. Right? Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
All right. Now, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we're lukewarm. We're not hot yet. Now, who controls that volume?
We do.
That's right. We do. So if we're lukewarm, what do we have to do? Turn the volume up, right? Turn that little dial up. to where we can become hot Christians. Isn't that what we want?
Yes.
Isn't that what Jesus Christ wants? Okay? So every time that you ladies and men iron from now on, or every time you see a pretty starched shirt, I want you to think about what setting you're on. You've accepted Christ. You've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. But what setting are you on? Are you on lukewarm? Are you on medium? Are you hot for Jesus? So every time you think about that, you can think of, and you know, I wished I could sing as low as Bert Hensley. And I know he wants to be as pretty as I am, so it worked out, balanced out real good. But next time you see an iron, or you think about an iron, or you see somebody with a beautiful starched shirt or jeans or whatever, think about, that Higdon guy said something about what setting was I on. Think about it. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
That was pitiful. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, help me finish it. Then your life will surely show it.
Say amen.
Amen.
Your life will surely... Amen. Thank you back there. Your life will surely show it. What dial are you on? What setting are you on? You on lukewarm or are you on hot? Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, thank you for that. Okay, let's all stand for our offertory hymn this morning, page 641. Page 641, America the Beautiful. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
Take these offerings, let it be for you, Lord, not about for us, Lord.
Yes.
I also pray for the message that Brother Bruce will give to us, Lord.
Yes.
Let it be all about you, not about him, Lord. Your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
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 stand for the doxology. Praise and fellowship song. Let's turn to page 568. We'll sing all four verses. 568. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Each other in God's love.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well today. I don't mean to rush you back to your seat or anything. Y'all keep fellowshipping as long as you want to. Amen. It's good to see God's people fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, how many of you glad Jesus loves you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Loves us even when we don't deserve it. Amen.
Amen.
And loved us enough that he died on the cross for us. This series that I'm bringing you, I want you to really focus on how much love Jesus really has for us. Because, you know, sometimes when we get in God's Word, there's a lot of hard truths that we have to talk about. But, hey, it's all surrounded by the love of Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen. All right. I always like something to get the tone set right there. Amen. But, guys, Jesus loves you. And I want you to understand that. That's what this whole series is focusing on here. We're actually talking about some situations where Jesus, either Jesus directly showed love or other people in these stories were showing great acts of love. We talked last week about the parable of the Good Samaritan, about how the most unlikely of characters, a Samaritan, was willing to go and take care of this Jewish man who had been beaten up and left on the side of the road for dead. So that was a great act of love. Two Jews walked right past him, didn't even do anything. In fact, made it a point to cross over to the other side of the road where other people would not actually even think they had even come in contact with him over in that ditch. But the one person that was the most unlikely came and took care of that man and showed him love. You know, the Bible says, in the kingdom, he who is first shall be last. So sometimes those that are last in the eyes of the world are going to be elevated when it comes Resurrection Day to first. And that's going to be a great thing, because some people that get mistreated and get abused in this world and that don't seem to get a lot of love in this world, they're going to get it when they get to heaven if they know Jesus. Amen. And that's going to be a great thing for them and for everybody else. If you have your Bibles, let's look at John chapter 11.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you glad we got God's Word to stand on?
Amen.
If you don't stand on God's Word, guys, I'm telling you, you're going to fall. God's Word is there to hold you up and lift you up and provide you with directions. I mean, this is the only GPS you really need in life right here. If you'll get in it and you study it and you become a part of it and it becomes a part of you, I promise you this, it's not going to be a guarantee that you're not going to fall and slip and stumble from time to time, but you have got something to direct you here. If you listen to the world, you're not going to have very good directions, are you? They're going to tell you to go here, go there, do this, do that. But God's Word is always true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to talk about a story today that I think is very familiar to most of you. But I want to bring out a few points about this story today that you may not have took a minute to think about. Guys, remember I told you, how many of you at any point in time in your life have been studying God's Word and read the same passage of Scripture over again and find a completely different meaning that God's speaking to you about?
Amen.
That's what I do just about every time I prepare a sermon or something. When I get in God's Word, I discover that God's got a different message for me about the same Scripture I just read maybe a week or two ago. So always be open and attentive to what God's Word is telling you. God's Word may say one thing one time to you, but it may say something totally different to you the next time. But it's all from Him, amen? It's all from Him. That's what I want you to understand about. We're going to focus on just a few of these verses. Now, I put in the bulletin verses 1 through 44 because this whole story focuses on those 44 verses. But what I would like to do is I would like for us to begin with verse 34. So I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to begin in John chapter 11, verse 34. This is Jesus now. He's standing around. He sees all this multitude of people, and they're all weeping, and they're all sad by the death of Lazarus. And he says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, talking about Mary and Martha here, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he was groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray now, Lord, in the next few minutes, Lord, that you'll empty myself of me. Let it be nothing about me, but all about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, there was no doubt about it. Those of you that are going to take notes on the sermon, we're going to begin now with those. There's no doubt about it. Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He loved them. Now, that's not to say he loved them any more than he loves us, because the love of Jesus is all abounding. He doesn't love them any more than he loves us. He doesn't love us any more than he loves a terrorist in the world today. Now, he's not pleased with some of the things that go on, but his love is never ending. I want you to understand that. Jesus loved these three. When Lazarus took sick, the sisters made it a point to send word to Jesus. They sent word to him telling him, Lord, the one you love is sick. They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. Now, Jesus loves all of us, right? We're hard to love sometimes, aren't we? How many of us have done something this week that Jesus probably didn't love too much? I'm going to raise my hand, amen? But guys, guess what? We serve an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-forgiving God, who is willing to forgive us of our sin, restore us back unto righteousness. His grace abounds in everything that we do. Jesus loved these people. Once Jesus heard this, he said that this sickness will not end in death. See, Jesus already had a plan in mind. Aren't you glad that Jesus is always one step ahead of us? If it was up to us to map out our life, we'd have messed it up already, right? You realize that, right? When you try to run your life and you try to chart your course, that's when you start messing up. When you trust in Jesus and let him map that course for you, I can promise you this, it may not happen as quick as you want, but it'll happen the way it ought to. Amen? Amen. It's going to always work out that way. It's going to always work out that way. Jesus already had a plan. He always has a plan for those he loves. He's always going to have a plan. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. I've said this before many times. The only person that will mess up God's plan for you is yourself. You're the only one that's going to mess it up if it gets messed up. And that usually happens when you start getting ahead of God. When you start getting ahead of God, you're going to see that sometimes things are not going to work out. Things are not going to always work out. He told his disciples, guys, let me tell you something, because I'm sure they were kind of gathered around and they were like, oh my goodness, Lazarus is sick. Lord, we need to rush on over there. You can heal him. I can hear him right now, because these were just common, ordinary men. They were probably telling him, hey, if we get on over there, Lord, you just put your hand on him and you just pray and your Heavenly Father's going to heal him and he'll be fine. I'm sure that's what they were thinking. But Jesus told them this. He said, this sickness will not end in death, but rather it's going to bring glory to God, my Father. This whole ordeal is going to bring glory to God. See, Jesus really loved these three. You know how much he loved them? Listen to this next thing here now. He loved them so much, he said, okay, guys, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stay here 2 more days. Think about that. Just got word that Lazarus, this person that he loves, who is very sick, who needs the touch of Jesus in his life to make him better. Jesus said, guess what? We're going to stay 2 more days right here. That's pretty crazy sounding, isn't it? Yeah, you heard it right. Jesus knew Lazarus was sick and he loved him. But instead of coming right away, he stayed 2 more days where he was. And guess what? It probably took 1 day for the messengers to get there and even tell him about the sickness that Lazarus had. So he stays 2 more days. Then it's going to take him a day when he finally does decide to go to get over there where Lazarus is. So in all, we're talking about 4 days are going to transpire here. 4 days are going to transpire. You might be thinking, what's Jesus doing? Let me tell you something, guys. Jesus loves you even though he may not answer your prayers on the timetable in which you want him to. If you believe that, say amen. He's going to answer your prayers, but it's not going to always be on your timetable. He's always working for your best interest. He's always working for your best interest. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He knew that even though I'm going to stay, I could stay here 2 days, 10 days, 20 days. The same thing is going to happen no matter when I go back to that house. Guys, Jesus loves you. He is going to work things out in your life if you'll give him an opportunity and you turn it over to him and let him work it on his timetable. How many of you that are older adults have seen that happen in your life? That when you just finally said, God, I'm just going to let you have it, then I'm going to quit trying to mess things up like I've been doing. I'm going to let you have it, and your life began to smooth out and begin to go in the right direction God wanted you to head. Guys, we got to do this. We got to understand this. Jesus told his disciples after they stayed 2 more days, he's like, all right, guys, we're about to get ready to depart and go to Lazarus. He then says, Lazarus has fallen asleep. Well, if you understand what that terminology means in the Bible, that's basically referencing the fact that he had died. But guys, you got to understand something. These were 12 ordinary men. These were not scholars. These were not professors. These were not great theologians who understood everything. That's why Jesus had to speak in parables a lot of time. His own disciples couldn't understand what he was talking about. So look at what they say. He said, Lazarus has fallen asleep, and he's going there to wake him up. I'm going to go wake him up. And bless their hearts, his disciples just didn't always get what he was talking about. They thought that he meant Lazarus was literally naturally sleeping. And that, oh, that'll be good for him. Sleep will do him good. He'll feel much better. And I can see Jesus doing this. You don't have mention of that, but Jesus probably is looking at them going, did I make the right decision on you 12? Amen. Did I really pick the right group here? So finally, Jesus was talking about Lazarus' death the whole time, but they thought he was talking about natural sleep. Finally, Jesus just plain point blank said, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. You know, I can see their reaction when he told them that. Yeah, I was trying to tell you that about 10 minutes ago. He was dead. And you know what Jesus went on to say after he realized that, guys, you're just not getting it here. And for your sakes, I'm glad that he was not here so that you would believe. Now, guys, Jesus knew. Jesus, wow, man, he's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He knows everything. He already knew what he was going to do here. He'd already mapped the plan out. But he knew one thing. If he'd have been standing right there when Lazarus was about ready to die and he had reached down and touched him, it would not have near the impact as it would when he's fixing to go back here to his town and what he was about to do. Guys, I'm telling you something. Jesus wants to work those miracles in your life too. Jesus loves you so much. He wants to work those kind of miracles in your life. Now, is he going to raise you from the dead? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You don't believe Jesus raises people from the dead? Well, you wait until that final trumpet sounds, amen. And you see if you as a born-again believer don't rise up and go meet him, amen. It's going to happen. You will be resurrected. But you will be resurrected with a new heavenly body that you will be able to stand in the presence of God and not die. I don't know, I got some goosebumps just thinking about that right now. Amen. But guys, let's move on. Now, Jesus says, okay, we're staying two more days. We're gonna come. I love this family. I'm going to help this family. And I'm sure the disciples are going, well, Lord, you could have helped them if you'd have went on when we first found out about this. You could have already healed Lazarus. But by the time Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived, he'd already been dead for 4 days. 4 days. He'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, guys, back then, they didn't embalm the way they do today. They prepared him with some spices and stuff, but it was nothing like the embalming they do today. 4 days then in a hot tomb was going to mean one thing, and it wasn't good. It wasn't going to be a pleasant thing when they got there. Many Jews had already come to comfort Mary and Martha. There were probably, the Bible doesn't really say, but it says there was a lot of them. I could imagine 100 or more probably there mourning with them. They came to comfort them. They were all well loved, not only by Jesus, but by their surrounding area. Guys, that's how you know you're a loving person. When people come around you in time of need and in time of death of a loved one, and you see these just droves of people coming up to be with you and to mourn with you and to weep with you, you know you are a well-loved person. I'm going to tell you something. I've done some funerals before. You could have filled everybody up that was at that funeral on these first two little pews right here. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. Nobody came to the funeral of that person. I don't know what the situation was, but there was not a lot of love that was evident there when I looked out and saw that. But these people, they came. There were just hundreds of them. They came to be there. Somebody told Jesus that, somebody told Martha that, hey, Jesus is coming down the road here now. So Martha came out to meet Jesus when she heard that while Mary was still staying back at the house, still grieving, still upset. Martha meets Jesus there in the road and she looks at him and she says this, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But look at what she goes on to say. I like this because it's going to come back in a minute that really, did she have the faith that she was fixing to say here? She goes on to say, but even now, Jesus, you can do whatever you ask of your Father. You can do whatever you ask of your Father. So she's basically saying, I know you have the ability to heal him even though he's been in that tomb and to raise him up even though he's been there for 4 days. Jesus then told Martha that her brother would rise again. But once again, just like his disciples, she was a bit confused. She goes on to say and thinks that he meant he would rise again in the end times. At the end times, at the great resurrection, when the dead in Christ would rise again and have their new glorified body. Jesus looks at her and he says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he may die. Those were powerful words from Jesus, weren't they? That those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. Guys, every one of you that knows Jesus as your Savior, if you're here on this earth before Jesus returns again, if you stay here long enough and Jesus tarries long enough, you're going to die a physical death on this earth. We don't like to talk about death, do we? It kind of scares us. But guys, there should be no fear in the life of a believer because death give way to victory as soon as you take your last breath here on this earth. So you see, Jesus told Martha, hey, I got this under control. Because, hey, even though you may die, you're going to live if you know me as your Savior. So Martha told Jesus she believed that. And so everything was good. And she went back to go tell Mary that, hey, Jesus is here. When Mary heard that, she got up and quickly went to Jesus. The Bible says she went quickly to Jesus. Mary really loved Jesus. Jesus loved Mary. This is the same Mary who poured perfume on his feet and washed his feet and wiped them off with her hair. This woman loved Jesus and who he stood for, and Jesus loved her. Mary comes along and all these Jewish mourners were there gathered around. They followed them out to where Jesus was. And when Jesus got there, and Mary said the same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. And in the middle of all this, she's weeping, and all the people are weeping. And when Jesus saw Mary weeping along with the others, he became overcome, and he was groaning in the spirit, as the Bible says. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Tears were coming out of Jesus' eyes because he realized the great throne of mourners that were there for this person and how much they loved him. Jesus' heart went out for them and to them. Guess what? I believe Jesus still weeps up there in heaven. I believe he weeps when he sees people who go through struggles. I believe he weeps when someone loses someone close to them and they're a believer. I believe he weeps when he looks down and sees the condition that this country is in and the way people act and the way people treat each other. Because Jesus is love. Can I get a witness? Jesus is love. When he does not see love being shown, it groans his spirit. And I believe Jesus actually weeps. Not just in this story, but many times when he looks at what his creation has done. But we can all have hope. Amen. We can all have hope that if we're born again, we will not have to struggle in this life forever. It will not be a forever struggle. Well, Jesus says, where is he? So he comes to the tomb and he ordered that the stone be rolled away. Back in those days, guys, they put you in like a cave and they roll this big stone in front of it, and that was your tomb. They didn't dig graves and put little crosses and monuments out everywhere. No, they put you inside a cave and they sealed it up with a rock so nobody could go in there and mess with the body. So he ordered them to roll the stone away. And Martha's like, whoa, hold on a minute, Jesus. He's been there 4 days. He's going to stink. Ooh, you don't want to open that thing up. Woo, smell like morning breath times 5,000. Amen. It's going to be bad. Don't do that. Jesus didn't listen to that. He said, go on and roll the stone away. And while the stone was rolled away, Jesus prayed to his Father. After which he called out in a loud voice and commanded Lazarus to come out. Can you imagine that? Roll that stone away. Don't worry about that smell. Roll that stone away. Lazarus, come out. Come out. He said it in a loud voice now. You think Jesus was this quiet, meek person? Uh-uh. He hollered that out in a loud voice, the Bible says. He told him to come out. And guess what? That dead man came out completely bound in grave clothes. Jesus told him to take off the grave clothes and let him go. Guys, I want to ask you something today. How many of you have a giant stone rolled in front of that tomb that you're in your life? How many of you have a giant stone that's covering the entrance to that tomb that you're living in right now? Jesus wants you to roll that stone out of the way and come out of that tomb and start living for him. He loves you that much. He's willing to help you move that stone out of your life so that you can come out of that tomb and he can love you and you can love him and you can be productive for him. Too many of us have entombed ourselves internally and we've got this big rock blocking the way where we just can't let Jesus come out of us. I'm telling you what, Jesus loves you. There's nothing, nothing, nothing you have done that will separate you from the love of Christ. Amen. Nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
There's nothing you have done, will done, will do, or will ever do in the future that will separate you from Jesus' love.
Amen.
So don't hold that stone in place. Don't let the devil get a foothold. Don't let the devil keep that stone in front of your tomb. Get out of that tomb. Jesus is calling to you today. He says, come out. Come out and be with me. He's telling you to come out. But guys, you got to get rid of the stone. You got to let that stone be rolled away. It was because of Jesus' love for Mary and Martha and Lazarus that he came to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. But guys, there were some other implications to this. Jesus was also foreshadowing what was going to happen to him. He was going to defeat death. He was going to come out of that grave. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father now, waiting for the right time to come and call his church home. Amen. That's going to be a great day when it happens. The same Jesus that showed love to these three wants more than anything to show love to you as well. Will you let his love manifest itself in your life? Will you let him love you the way he wants to? And will you love him in return? Yeah, we're going to mess up along the way. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But guys, I believe part of the problem that we can't get past is that we're entombed. We're sealed inside our own self. And we're not letting ourselves come out and be productive. Guys, I want to tell you one thing in closing today. Because it's hot and I'm about to choke up here, amen. Woo! I tell you, I just love serving Jesus, amen. I can't tell you how to serve God. It's something that the Lord has to lay on your heart. But I can tell you this, if you're a born-again believer, He wants your service. He wants your love. He wants to love you. He's going to love you anyway, regardless of what the situation is. But guys, I want to tell you something. If you forget everything I have ever preached to you about since I've been the pastor of this church, I want you to remember this one truth. I want you to remember this one truth. And if you're taking your notes, I want you to circle this last statement in your notes right here. Jesus loves you, and there is nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to change that. He loves you. He loved Lazarus. He had no intention of Lazarus laying in that tomb. But he had to give glory to his Father. That's why he waited 2 extra days. And that's why when they got there, they'd already been dead for 4 days. Jesus is waiting on you. How many days have you been dead inside this tomb in which you live called yourself? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Jesus loves you. He's patiently waiting. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He loves you enough that he's not going to leave you where you are today. He's going to get you to where he wants you to be. You can do that the easy way or you can do that the hard way. Amen. But guys, Jesus loves you. I love you. This church loves you. You got to love yourself enough to want to be productive for the kingdom. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for each and every person here. I pray, God, that in some way this message spoke to someone here. Lord, I know there was a reason that you brought it. God, I pray that I did a good job with it. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, our hearts and minds will be challenged. Lord, that we'll help realize that it's all about love. You tell us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that these three abideth, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. We're talking about the love you show. God, I pray that you'll help us to show that kind of love each and every day of our lives. I pray, God, that you will allow us to, that will allow you to roll those stones that have got us entombed inside our own selves, Lord, so that we can come out and we can serve you just like you called old Lazarus out of that grave. And God, I just pray if anyone needs to come up here to this altar and just empty themselves today, Lord, that you'll guide them down here. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today might be the day. God, we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? 249. Let's stand and sing 249. As always, this altar is open. I encourage you to come if the Lord leads you to come and pray today.